Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
John chapter 2, it says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus was also invited and his disciples to the wedding. And when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, you know, like, moms don't care, you know, whether it's convenient for you or not, you know. Moms don't care. His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." She just ignored him. "Mom, it's not my time yet." Now there were six stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." They filled them up, and he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." And they took it to him, and when the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom, and he said, "Every man at the beginning, he sets out all the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Okay, so we're going to talk about a little bit about signs. And it says, this is the beginning of the signs that Jesus did. And I got thinking about signs. And there, if you look in the dictionary, there are a lot of different meanings of the word sign. But the one that I was thinking about kind of was the idea of a road sign. You know, signs tell you about what's coming up, something that's in the future, you know. I just thought what the world would look like if you go through an intersection and there's a red sign that said you should have stopped back there. Right? Or you just went through curvy roads. Or you just hit a bad bump, right? I mean, what, you know, you just drove 150 miles from Margaretville, you know, as you get to New York City. You know, that's not what signs do. Signs don't tell you what already happened. Signs tell you about things that are to come. Signs show you the future. The Word of God is to show you the future. The Word of God exists to show you what can be upcoming in your life if you follow the Lord. It's a sign. This was the first sign Jesus did. The first sign was to show us something that is to come. And this sign was turning water to wine, which is, you know, we could talk about what all of that means. You know, probably the best metaphor I like is the water of God's word. Turning in, it's a spiritual substance. The ink on the pages of my Bible is not a spiritual substance, But the meaning behind those words is a spiritual substance. The Word of God is a spiritual substance, right? And as I read God's Word and as I take it into myself, right, it becomes a sign. And God gives us promises. Mark 11:23-24, which I quoted to you how many times? Matter of fact, I want to go there to Mark 11 because I want to show you something that happens before the scripture in question here. Jesus first comes into the village the first day, and he's looking for fruit on a tree, on the fig tree. Remember? And the Bible says it wasn't even season for figs to be growing on the fig tree. But Jesus wanted figs from the fig tree. You know? And he's God. He gets to say, when you say, no, it's not my season to have figs on a fig tree, he gets to say, I want figs from you now. I need you to serve me in this regard now. You see, even Jesus, when he was really mourning the death of John the Baptist, he drew away to himself to a place where he was alone up on the mountain, and the multitudes found him. They were all looking for him. Where did he go? And they found him, and his compassion moved. And he could have said, it's not my season to heal you right now. And this is one of the places where he healed like the 5,000 or 4,000. He sort of bought everybody heaven lunch, you know, and all that, you know. And he could have easily said, listen, this I need some me time, right? I need some me time. And he didn't, because there was need of fruit from him. And he was able to give that fruit up. And I also think about the possibility that he was looking for good fruit from that tree, and there was no good fruit being produced by that tree at that time. And there are trees that have been planted in our lives that also are destined to bear fruit that really isn't good. Fruit that comes from, there's a quote from a guy that I just read, but it says, as you gaze into evil, evil is gazing back into you. And the person who concentrates on evil, thinking about things that are evil, evil is actually looking back into you. And it's creating the opening for you and looking to probe for an opportunity to hurt you. So now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So Jesus curses the fig tree, and the next day they're coming back into town. And this fig tree literally overnight died. And that's why I think if you kind of flip this on its head and say, hey, maybe this was a tree that was destined to bear bad fruit, that Jesus can take those trees in our lives that are destined to bear bad fruit, that are destined to cause some maturation in our lives that's ungodly. So anyway, Jesus can curse that tree, and that can wither up and die so that it won't ever bear fruit again. Does that make sense to you? In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. It's overnight. And you know what the first, if you're not saved very long, the first thing you think of, poor tree, what are you taking out on a tree for? Now you'll burn wood all winter long, right? You know, you'll clear a spot with Mr. Lefevre's bulldozer to make a place for your house and knock trees over and everything, you know? But the first thing people think is, poor tree, what do you pick on the poor tree for? Right? have no answer for that, but it's his tree. You know, it's a tree. And Rabbi, look at the tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Doesn't mean I don't really have the gift of faith in God. I'm not really good at having faith in God. He said, have it. Jesus said, have faith in God. You know? You know, you stand, the soldiers standing in a row, you know, and the sergeant says to them, stand up straight. What are you smiling at, soldier? You know? What do you think this is, a picnic? You know, it's like, have this attitude, have this posture, he's saying. Jesus is saying, have faith in God. If you're saying, I don't really have very much faith. I mean, I believe in all, but I don't have much faith. Jesus would say to you, have faith in God. Have it. It's there to be had. You are a creature made in the image and likeness of God, and you've been given the capacity to have faith. So therefore, have faith. Don't be faithless. Be faithful. Be faith-filled. Have faith in God. Why? For assuredly, I say to you, you know, when Jesus puts one of those assuredly I say to you things in there, he puts it in there because he's got to sort of like double emphasize the thing. What if he said, I assuredly, I didn't say this, he said this might happen. What I'm going to tell you now might happen or might not happen. But he doesn't say, this might happen or it might happen, not happen if you have faith in God. But he says, assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Assuredly, I say to you, assuredly, I say to you, assuredly, I say to you, assuredly, I say this to you. Have faith in God, because assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes he will receive the things that he had asked for, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Good Lord. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Let me say it again. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, Jesus started by giving us a sign. He's going to turn water to wine. He's going to take his words, these words, and make these words to be a reality in your life.
That's right.
And so in your prayer time, and I'll show you the next scripture says, whenever you stand praying, 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, 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 believe that you will receive them and you will have them. When you pray, what's the context? You got to have a prayer life. Got to have a prayer life. You got to say, well, I do sometimes in my car. I think prayers. I think my prayers. That's a big one. That's a big one. I think my prayers. Excuse me. For surely I say to you, whoever says, that means use your vocal instrument, saying instrument. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed. Say, I tell people if they're embarrassed to pray out loud, write your prayer down, because at least you're saying it. At least you're expressing it. You're not just holding it inside of yourself. Now, I will tell you something. You should meditate on the Word of God. You should meditate in your heart. You should do that. That's a good thing to do. But praying is a thing. It is a thing you do with your mouth. It is a time of talking to God about things that are important to you. Surely I say to you, surely I say to you, Jesus didn't say, I'm expecting you just to catch this. I'm saying it to you. Jesus said, I'm saying this to you. Surely I am saying this to you. Listen, have faith in God. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Man, there are people who don't need money, but don't tell me you don't have a need. And if you don't have anything that you need to pray for yourself, pray that you're more godly. Pray that you become more like Jesus. Pray that you get more people saved. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. This is a piece from the first movie, Rocky, which is up there in the top three, maybe, best movies of all times. Right. I don't know what one and two are. But, you know, I know it's up there. But at one point in the movie, if you know Rocky's plight, he's kind of almost a has-been boxer, sort of, you know, boxing in the local circuit around the Philadelphia area. But he explains to Adrian, his girlfriend, when she's trying to talk him out of fighting Apollo Creed. Like, you think your job is to fight Apollo Creed. The devil's like Apollo Creed, the unbeaten one, the undefeated one. How can you ever be anything? How can you ever beat Apollo Creed? And Rocky says this. I wish I could do a good Sylvester Stallone imitation. He says, I just want to prove something. I ain't no bum. It don't matter if I lose. Don't matter if he opens my head. The only thing I want to do is go the distance. That's all. Nobody's ever gone 15 rounds with Creed. If I go them 15 rounds and that bell rings and I'm still standing, I'm gonna know that I weren't just another bum from the neighborhood. I wanna go 15 rounds. I wanna go 15 rounds in this life. I don't wanna be just another bum from the neighborhood. I want miracles. I want signs and wonders. I want you all to grow up to be mighty oaks in the Lord Jesus Christ. You and your children and your children's children. We ain't no bums. I just want to prove something. I just want to prove something. I ain't no bum. Every person in their life will think at one point in time that I think I was born for something more than this. At some point in your time, maybe only when you were a kid. Maybe it'll just fly in and out of your head. But you'll feel like there's some purpose for your life. You feel it, but then life just pounds you down. It just pounds you down. And you can get your degrees and you can make your money and you'll end up being 50, 60, 65, 70 years old and saying, life has really not been all that I'd hoped it would be. I've never really become that thing that I dreamed of becoming, because life just wants to continue to ground you down. But see, Jesus is giving us a fix for that. He's turned water to wine. He said, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, what mountain? I don't know what mountain you've got. I know there are mountains that try to stand in my way. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says, whoever what?
Says.
Whoever what?
Says.
Says. Whoever says. You say, oh, I don't know, the blessings of God are not for me. They're for you. You're a whosoever. You're not a whatsoever. You're a whosoever. You're not a cockroach. You're not a rat. You're not even a monkey. You're not a deer. You're not a part of the common animal kingdom. You're made in the image and likeness of God. And Jesus wants you to be like him. It's the whole point. He's become the firstborn among many brethren. Our job is to emulate our King, our Master, our Lord, our Savior. And he's giving us a sign. You're on your road right now, and you're passing a sign saying, if you pray and command that mountain to be removed and cast into the sea, if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe the thing that you say will be done, you will have whatever you say. Amen. Therefore, I say to you, we're passing the sign, when you pray, believe that you received it. Because Mr. Doubt is right there. Mr. Doubt is right there. It doesn't matter if he opens my head. I love that. It doesn't matter if he opens my head. You will listen to me in your Christian walk. It doesn't matter if he opens my head. I ain't no bum. I just want to stand 15 rounds and go 15 rounds with him. And at the end of those 15 rounds, when that bell rings, I want to be standing. Don't matter if he opens my head. I ain't just another neighborhood bum. Ah, so powerful. Signs are things that tell you what's ahead. So when you read your Bible and you look into your Bible, you look into the miracles of the Bible, look for what's ahead. You know, Pastor Alicia was talking about the woman with the issue of blood, to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, to pray for that infusion of his power to heal and to cure what's inside of you. God wants to remake us. He wants to remake us in his image, in his likeness. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. You know, I'm sorry, for whatever it's worth, we're not in a church where I'm just going to tell you how good God is and how much he loves you, and there's nothing expected of you, and it doesn't matter what you do, it's really okay with God, because he doesn't matter. You can do your life the way you want to do your life. God matters. God cares very much about the way you do your life. His Bible is filled with instructions of both what's the right way to approach something and the wrong way to approach something. Those are very important aspects of our faith. And that's, this obedience thing is not something you just turn on and off. Obedience is like being a prize fighter. It is working out. It is getting out there and going to the gym, which is your place of prayer, and it's working out every day. It's crying out. It's engaging your heart. It's finding where you live, because some of us are so dead inside, we haven't visited our heart recently. So we may say we love Jesus, but inside we're dead. And there's not a real living connection between us and Jesus. And that connection comes when you say unto a mountain. The disciples said, John the Baptist teaches his disciples how to pray. You don't teach, you haven't taught us how to pray. Jesus said, okay, do this. And he gives them basically bullet points. Pray this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. They just prayed. You have to tear that down, that prayer. And you have to find what every aspect of that prayer is, what it stands for. And you have to dwell and tarry in his presence. That's an old word, tarry. We don't use tarry. I don't tarry at the bus stop. What you been doing, tarrying? I ask you, start praying. Pray more often. Jesus said very much purposely, go into your inner room and pray. That means you're going to have to be talking, because you don't have to go into your inner room to think. Right? You can think anywhere. He said, go into your inner room and pray, and the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. You go into your inner room and pray, and the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And Jesus promised us. He put up a sign. Say to this mountain, be cast into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe what he says will be done. You will have whatsoever he says. Therefore, when you pray, believe that you've received it, and you will have it. I just passed all those road signs.
Hey guys, this is Jake Johnson coming to you from our On Fire radio studio. We pray this message has encouraged you. And maybe you're listening today and would say, Jake, I want to join this cause. How do I start? Well, I'll tell you, because of our sins, there's no way that we can make it to heaven on our own. But God did send Jesus, his son, to die for our sins. And Jesus said that if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. So pray with me today and begin a new life with God. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I believe you lived a perfect life and died on a cross as a sacrifice for my sins. I repent from my sins today, and I place my life in your hands. I give you all that I have, and I ask that you would cleanse me with your blood and fill me now with the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk forward today into a new life with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer with me, I'd encourage you to get a Bible. Download a free app on your phone. It's called YouVersion, the Bible app. You can start a Bible plan and start reading the Word of God. Start a prayer life and start spending time with God. And find a Bible-believing church. I want to take this time to personally invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We're at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. We have church every Sunday at 10 a.m., and we would love for you to join us. And maybe you can't make it in person, but we have a YouTube channel, and we have a Facebook. You can find us on both those platforms. Stay connected with what God is doing in the Catskill Mountains. I'd also like to give you an opportunity in partnering with us. And if this word has ministered to you today, would you consider giving to the work of On Fire Radio? On Fire Radio is brought to you free, online, and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. You can give online, and you can also find out more about CMCC and our other ministries by going to www.cmcconline.org. Again, that's www.cmcconline.org. And we'd love to hear from you. You can send us a message from our website, you can send us a message from our Facebook, or you can post a comment from whatever platform you're listening to this radio show, and let us know how God is using this ministry to work in your life. And if you have a prayer request, we want to hear about that too. How can we pray with you? Please let us know. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.